out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. Sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
A recent study indicates that 7% of all drivers frequently put on makeup while driving. Yep, they're out there. Hopefully you're in a Volvo. It's a message from SunTrip, the St. Louis Volvo dealer, on Manchester and in O'Fallon, Missouri.
At Sears Auto Center, shop for new tires at your convenience with extended hours and online scheduling. Visit Sears Auto Center today. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 4/27.
Step to B Square.
It's a Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss, Eon the Peon here with me. This portion of the show brought to you by 7 locally owned and operated Auric Home Centers. You're in the market for a new vacuum cleaner? Auric, the brand. See what they offer online at the website Auric, that's O-R-I-C-K, Auric.com. Now, here to talk about the movies for the weekend and what's happening in the nightclubs as well, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm lovely. Paul Harris, how are you?
I'm doing fine, and I will let our listeners know that at some point in this segment, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Cardinals game tonight. But don't call yet, because we're going to have a trivia question associated with that.
Wow. During my segment, you're going to give away Cardinal tickets?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's prime real estate right there, man.
Good Bingo. Seats, too.
Yeah. Top choice.
We figured the game will probably be rained out, but we can give the tickets away anyway.
Maybe, maybe not.
Way to put a downer on this segment.
Do those tickets, I think, if you have the tickets in hand, they're good for the rainout game,
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a pair of tickets, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
They have to take two me tickets. With them.
No, that's not how it works at all.
Come on.
No, they get to take...
I'm pretty sure a federal law prohibits an employee of KTRS being involved in the prize in any way.
Yeah. I worked. Am I an employee?
Felon?
Okay, cheers.
Fraternizing.
You felon? Thanks, man. Hey, can I just say my day really, really, I mean, what's the right word? It accelerated. It was a regular day until out of nowhere, it finally happened, Ian. It finally happened.
What's that?
I got a text from Paul Harris.
Whoa.
Yes. I finally got the text.
Yeah.
I
texted
him. How excited I was.
I texted him a couple hours ago and said, what are we talking about today?
And I looked at him like,
whoa.
I'm like, who is this? What do you mean? What are we talking about? What are we fighting? Who is this? Oh, it's Paul Harris. Oh, man.
That's one for the archives.
You'll never wash the phone again, right?
All I'm going to say, tingling extremities. Okay.
Did you take a picture of it and frame it?
Hey, that's a good idea. I can screenshot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just say right now that when you do the fake band names, one of these weeks, Tingling Extremities is a pretty good one.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Is a good one. Well, we'll throw that out as a bonus then. If you're looking to start a band, Tingling Extremities. Where is that?
At no charge to you. All right, let's get to the movies. Are we into blockbuster season yet?
We're a week out from blockbuster season. I looked at the docket and realized, do I really, really want to do a review on The Big Wedding? Do I really want to put us all through that?
You know, I had a ticket to go to a screening of The Big Wedding, and I thought to myself, well, this has a lot of people in it who I want to see. And then usually movies that have that many big names in them, they're either directed by Gary Marshall.
True.
Or, well, no, even in the Gary Marshall category, shouldn't have been or, should have been and, they suck. This one is not directed by Gary Marshall, but I just can tell from looking at the trailer, I don't want to see The Big Wedding.
Right. So I'm not going to put anybody through it. I'll just say The Big Wedding is a big, just massive deuce. And
really,
if you're going to get Diane Keaton and you're going to have her divorced and you have Robert De Niro to play the ex-husband, why not hit Al Pacino? Why not go for that angle? Why not go for that little nostalgia angle? That would have been great. It would have been awesome.
Hoorah!
But it wasn't. So
I have a question for you, because Ian and I were talking about this right before we went on the air today. Because you're going to talk about Iron Man 3 in a second.
He
was talking about how much money Robert Downey Jr. has made from Iron Man 3. And I said, you know, at a certain point, I wonder about the biggest movie stars in the world who have made so much money, why they're not more selective about their movies. And the name Robert De Niro is a perfect example. I mean, this is a guy who, if there's a movie Hall of Fame, He's already in it. He hasn't retired yet, but he's already in the Movie Hall of Fame for everything he's done since Mean Streets, his first movie. Everything since then has put him in the Hall of Fame. But along the way, there have been so many things like The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, you know what?
Other movies.
I think he enjoys that part of the comedy part of it that he never really did.
But they have to be good comedy.
Right, yeah,
it's
I
like
know.
Stallone. It's like Stallone saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to do stuff for my mom. Will shoot. That way I can show people I'm funny. You know, you're already funny when you do the action movie and you do the little one-liner. You're still the really cool guy. But you can, you know, put a little thing in there and make us kind of laugh at the same time.
Now, he was funny in Analyze This.
I thought it was hilarious.
I thought, you know, King of Comedy is not an outright comedy, but his character had a sense of humor to it, and he was funny in that. And, you know, Midnight Run with him and Charles Grodin.
That's a great movie.
Great buddy movie. The two of them were terrific together. It's not like he always has to play the tough mafioso kind of guy. But I do think that far too often, he goes for, Silver Linings Playbook, it was a supporting role. I thought he did a very good job with that.
It was reserved.
But some of these other movies, and I think The Big Wedding is probably like this, make me say, you are Robert freaking De Niro. You have all the money.
Yeah.
All the money.
It's almost like I wish somebody, maybe Scorsese, had the guts to do something that every fan in the world would love. Think of the movie Casino, when they're in the desert. All right, and he's waiting there. And Joe Pesci walks in and goes, "Where do you get off going behind me?" And starts screaming at him. I want to see that scene remade with Joe Pesci yelling at him about all the movie choices he's made in the last 15 years.
Yes.
That would be a funny or die moment. That would be a brilliant moment. You'll probably get impersonators to do it, and somebody's going to rip the idea off, and we're not going to get the credit. But still, that would be funny.
It's not like you're Rob Schneider and have to take every movie that's offered to you.
Or you can't
eat. Robert De Niro.
Right. Hey, the way I look at it, I've been shopping around lately for a TV, so I'm walking around. I realize, if I start right here, and as I walk down and down, the prices keep going up and up and up. We go to the Movie Hall of Fame, we'll start with Mean Streets. And the longer we walk down the De Niro Hall, the worse it's going to get. Think about that.
Yeah.
As you walk further and further, it's not like there's something we can throw out that's, remember what he did 5 years ago? No. We're trying to forget. It's just sad.
Yeah.
Everything like, okay. You mentioned Meet the Parents. Great. But then they milk it.
Yep.
They milk it way too long. Analyze This becomes Analyze That.
Yeah.
Which has maybe a good 2-minute highlight reel where I can laugh, but not a 2-hour huge event.
I agree.
So.
You know what? While you go on here, I'm going to just IMDb Robert De Niro, and we'll see how far back you got to go to find a really good De Niro movie.
Just make sure you hit the all filmography thing, because sometimes they'll trick you. And, you know, it's best known for, and this guy always does great movies.
Yep.
You gotta hit the whole thing, man. So Iron Man 3 does not open for another week.
You want to go through it right now? I already got to it.
Was that Iron Man?
Okay.
Oh.
That was good. Silver Linings Playbook. Before that, something called Freelancers. Don't know what that is. Being Flynn. That was like an indie movie that went nowhere.
And I really wanted that one to be good.
Red Lights. Never heard of it. New Year's Eve, which I think is one of those Gary Marshall movies, isn't it?
They starred everybody.
Okay. Killer Elite.
That was okay. Jason Statham was in it. Way too much tricky camera work, so it looked like De Niro could actually do that without going out of breath.
Limitless. Never heard of it.
That was the Bradley Cooper one where you take the magic drug and De Niro's the guy who kind of shuts him down.
Good?
Yeah.
The Ages of Love, Little Fockers, Stone, Machete, Everybody's Fine, Righteous Kill, What Just Happened, Stardust, The Good Shepherd, Stop Me When We Get to One You've Heard Of.
I haven't seen any of them.
Righteous Kill was the one with him and Pacino. It was a terrible, terrible film that everybody got excited about, but it was just epically wrong in every way.
Hide and Seek, The Bridge of San Luis Rey, Meet the Fockers, Shark Tale, Godsend. Now you're back to Analyze That. City by the Sea.
Oh,
Showtime.
I'll stop you there. I think City by the Sea was very good. James Franco, before anybody knew who he was, De Niro was basically playing the cop, his kid, bad kid, drugs, whatever.
Oh, I saw that.
That was a decent movie.
Yeah.
Decent.
But already we're back to 2002.
True.
Okay, I think you can go back to 2001 before you get to the first movie that I would say, that's a really good movie, and it was called The Score.
Oh, yeah.
With De Niro and Edward Norton and Marlon Brando.
And unfortunately, a lot of people know The Score and they don't know Heist with Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Two flicks that drop at the same time.
Correct.
I'm telling you, for me, it's all Heist over The Score. But I do like The Score because
Gene Hackman.
Well, because you go watch The Score, man. Marlon Brando did not care. He knew he was on death's door and he just had a lot of fun with the part. So yep. I really liked it.
So we have to go back to 2001 for a Robert De Niro movie that we agree was a really good movie.
Yes.
And by the way, you know who also falls into this category? Steve Martin.
Yes.
What's the last time you saw? Now, Steve Martin shows up on a talk show, or if he's going to be anywhere, people go, oh, yeah, we love Steve Martin. Really?
Nope.
What's the last good Steve Martin movie?
He comes out with his banjo and his big, thick glasses, and he wants to be serious.
Well, that's fine if he wants to be a musician.
His nose has grown three times as big, too.
He's got a new album out that's already probably going to sell a lot with Edie Brickell, who's Paul Simon's wife. Okay, fine. He, that's who you want to be? Okay.
He was in It's Complicated.
With Steve Martin, with Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
But that was him more playing a role of just a regular guy.
Yeah.
He was just a little, he's not playing a real character. Steve Martin, he can be serious. The Spanish Prisoner,
yes.
One of the greatest things I've seen where you got
a funny guy
who's playing a role that's just out there.
How about Leap of Faith?
I really wanted that to be good. I really did. I couldn't stand Leap of Faith. Like My Blue Heaven, all right? Another one where I'm like, this is going to be genius.
Oh, no. Leap of Faith is much better. I'll give you that the last 15 minutes, it goes off the rails.
Yeah.
But up until that point, that is a great movie about con man preachers.
Yes.
Just, all right. Just terrific.
LA Story.
But again, we got to go back to the,
back.
1980s and 90s to find really great Steve Martin projects.
And we could do this about anybody, really. I mean, we really could. Because, I mean, there was that short little streak there where John Travolta was, resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a great number of flicks really, really quick.
Yeah.
Now, just really sad.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
What about the last Robert Downey Jr. movie? What's the last one you saw?
Outside of Iron Man 3?
No, I was talking about Iron Man 3. I'm trying to get us back on track.
Oh, yeah, so it's,
I looked up at the clock and I realized we've been doing this for 10 minutes.
Hello.
And we haven't gotten to the review yet.
Funny you should ask, Paul. It was Iron Man 3, which is opening a week from today. I'm doing this because next week we're going to do a little preview of certain things. Plus, I would love to showcase the greatest film you've never seen. Not you personally, but just have a little fun with it. Iron Man 3, I'm not going to spoil the movie. I will tell you, I had a lot of fun seeing it. I know, what was it, $50 million that he made for this one, Ian? Something like that. $50-ish million dollars for this movie?
Yes.
I think it's worth every penny. Go watch The Avengers and realize that is a dorky comic book movie, but the second Robert Downey Jr. is in it, suddenly you kind of feel kind of cool. I mean, you could take almost any subject matter, add Robert Downey Jr., and there's a cool layer there.
Oh, he's so suave at that role. I mean, it's just amazing.
So a guy watching this movie with his friends, or he takes a date, or if you just watch it on your own, you don't really feel like so much of a dork. It's not like revisiting The Hobbit, where suddenly you need to grab an elven sword and wear a cloak, and you just feel like you're never going to meet a chick again. Robert Downey Jr. brings a cool, classy sophistication and a smart attitude to this portrayal. I think the second movie was a huge waste of time. I did not like Iron Man 2. Really liked the first one. Thought it had the gutsiest comic book ending ever. Where he's just at that podium, he's just talking, he was looking at his notes, like, hey, you know what? I am Iron Man. And boom, it ends. I thought that was so gutsy.
Now, let me ask you about the villain, because as we've said many times before, all of these movies depend not only on the hero, but also on the villain. In the first one, Willem Dafoe and I guess James Franco counts a little bit as the villains. They were very good in the first one. Second one, Mickey Rourke, not so much.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm getting lost. Willem Dafoe, Iron Man, bad guy? Really?
Wasn't he?
No, it was Willem Jeff Bridges.
Willem Dafoe was
Spider-Man.
In Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, the dude was the bad guy.
I apologize. All right, Jeff Bridges, you're right.
Which, by the way, if you watch Iron Man again, if you like I have, I've revisited everything, you go rewatch Iron Man. Within like the first 5 minutes, there's a cover of Time magazine where Jeff Bridges is standing there taller than anything looking down on the world. If that doesn't indicate where his character's going to go. I mean, there's so many little foreshadowing bits in there.
Yep. So how's the villain in 3?
That is a very complex subject because I do not want comic book fans to get mad at me. I don't want movie fans to get mad at me. So I would say this. Ben Kingsley is amazing in this movie. He is very, very good. What he's doing with his voice, I thought, sounds like Ben Kingsley doing his best impersonation of Heath Ledger as the Joker. Not manic or anything, just real kind of like dark and kind of gravelly a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was very menacing. Very well done with how much exposure you get on the bad guy. One of those things where he's like Jaws. He's present, you don't always see it, but you know he's there. And you know, basically, everybody's hosed because they're playing to his tune. They just don't know it yet. Ben Kingsley was exceptionally brilliant in this performance, almost as good, if not equal, to how great Robert Downey Jr. is. So, yes, Ben Kingsley was great. Robert Downey Jr. was great. Looking at it from that point of view, they even each other out. Very good matchup. But that's all I can say about that.
Okay.
If I say any more, we'll get rocks thrown through the windows.
All right, no spoilers.
As far as the direction, I mean, it's done by Shane Black, the guy who wrote the first Lethal Weapon, the guy who directed Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer and the very underrated Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, a guy who knows witty dialogue, he knows how to frame Robert Downey Jr. and knows how much to let him get loose and when to rein him in. It's very well controlled. It makes Iron Man 2 an afterthought you don't even care about. I cannot stress enough, Iron Man was great. Iron Man 2 is a huge disappointment. Then you get the Avengers, and suddenly Tony Stark has been up in space to fight aliens in New York, and wow, the believability, despite what the other movies stand for, the believability is just gone. They do a great job at recognizing the events of the Avengers, but not to the point where we feel that we're still in that dorky kind of comic book world. It's very grounded, it's very real, it's very dark, very gritty. Yes, there are people that you're not going to want to see in situations that could result in them not being around anymore. I know that there are a lot of people in Hollywood saying, oh, yeah, this could be a fourth one. No problem. No, definitely. I would not bet a dime on there being a fourth Iron Man movie.
Really?
That would be my bet in Vegas. I give this a 9 out of 10, which is exactly how I grade the first Iron Man.
Wow.
Second one, I give it a 4 out of 10. It was just weak. I love Don Cheadle. I love that they don't overdo the Don Cheadle stuff, the special effects. Nothing in here looks cartoonish. When they destroy Tony Stark, his mansion, you see it in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything. Done so, so well. It's just really, really good. It doesn't look like a Michael Bay movie. It looks like a really, really cool, fun ride. 9 out of 10, Iron Man 3 next week. I would buy your tickets now. It's going to be the biggest movie we've got going for at least till May 17th.
Okay. Why don't we use Ben Kingsley as our trivia question? If you want to go to see the Cardinals tonight, where are they playing tonight?
Pirates.
Okay, if you want to go see him, and you can get here to KTRS in the next hour, and you know the name of the movie that Ben Kingsley won the Best Actor Academy Award for, you can call us and we'll give you the tickets. 969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone, star KTRS. We only have one pair, and you have to be able to come and get them here at Westport Plaza in the next hour, and then you can go down to the ballpark and enjoy the Cards and the Pirates tonight.
But you don't have to go with me, right? We've already established that.
No, that's why it's a prize.
Yeah. It's open-ended. If they want to go with you, that's a choice.
We'll get the punishment later with the Harris Challenge.
Yeah. Wow.
You're welcome. So, can I talk about a movie that I saw this week?
I would love to.
Which I think is opening today as well.
Yes.
Is Mud opening today?
Now, do you want to put them on the air, or do you want to?
No, you can just take care of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Mud will be out today, so will The Big Wedding. And,
okay. Yeah. Mud, have you seen it?
I did not get any. I got a 45-minute EPK on Mud, so I've not fully seen it, but I know enough of it. So I would love to hear what you think of it, because it looks like it could be really good. It reminded me, just from what I saw, of that movie with Kevin Costner, directed by Clint Eastwood, where there's the little boy. You know what I'm talking about?
Open Range?
No. It's going back. Oh, man. Early 90s. I had no idea it was going to be that dark. Just, there's a movie I now. Why don't you talk about Mud?
Okay, I will tell you that Mud starts off with two 14-year-old boys going on an adventure. And the first thing I thought to myself was, they look like Will Wheaton and River Phoenix at the beginning of Stand By Me. They're about that same age. They're going off on an adventure in an area of rural Arkansas where they get in a little boat, and they're going off to find something on an island that's nearby them in the river.
A perfect world is what you're thinking of.
Thank you. A perfect world, that's where I was going.
Okay, all right. So they go off on this adventure, and the reason they're going to this island is because they'd heard that in a recent flood, a boat had been lifted up in the water and ended up in a tree. A pretty big-sized boat, not like a cruise ship boat, but, you know, more than just a rowboat. And so they go to find it. And when they get there, they see it. It's in a tree about 20 feet off the ground. They climb up the tree to get in there. They're looking around. It's like, this is cool. This is going to be our playhouse. It's summer. This is going to be our boat in a tree. How cool is it? You're 14 years old. You're a boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fantastic find.
Yes.
While they're in there, they're looking around, and one of the boys finds some what look to be fresh mud marks from somebody's boot on the wall.
Let me ask one quick question.
No, let me just get to this part. He finds some fresh mud boot marks, and he also finds a plastic bag that has like a can of beans and a fresh loaf of bread in it. And he says to the other kid, somebody's living here. Somebody's here. And so they figure, we better get out of here. And so they get out and they go back to their boat, which is on the beach on that island. And that's where they meet Matthew McConaughey. Now, the part that I told you could easily be the beginning of a horror movie. Somebody's here.
Oh, yeah,
somebody's
definitely
in the boat. But that's not what this movie is. Matthew McConaughey, I'm not going to give you too much of the plot, but I'll tell you, Matthew McConaughey is a guy who's on the run. We don't know what he's on the run from at this point in the movie, but he's on the run from something, and he's living in that boat while he's trying to figure out where he's going to go and what he's going to do. And he kind of enlists these two boys to kind of help him out. They like him. They don't know much about him. He's kind of a mystery to them, which adds to the coolness of the adventure that they're having. And the adventure goes from there. I really don't want to tell you too much about this movie, but to tell you, it's very intriguing at that point. Sitting in the theater, once they got to that point and they meet him for the first time and they leave, I said to myself, oh, I want to know what happens here. I will tell you that later on, you see Reese Witherspoon in a smaller role. She is not the star of the movie or even the co-star of the movie, but she has a smaller role in the movie. Sam Shepard has a role in the movie, and you'll recognize maybe a couple of other faces that you've seen in other movies, not big names, who also have a role in the movie. But essentially, it's an adventure movie for these two young boys and this guy who we don't really know what the story is behind, but there's something mysterious about him, and we know something's going on. It's not a horror movie. It's not one of those creepy things, but it's very, very intriguing. And I walked out of there going, that's an original movie. I have not seen that movie before. I thought it was well done. I will say it does fall about a notch and a half in the last 40 minutes or so, but then it recovers by the end. And I walked out of the movie pretty satisfied. I would give it a 7.5, maybe even an 8 out of 10.
Oh.
It's called Mud. I recommend it.
The question I had was the dialogue spoken by the kids.
Yes.
That usually makes or breaks it when it comes to a movie where they're kind of the focus point. Like Super 8, you could trash it all you want, but the way the kids spoke reminded me that I was in the 80s again watching real kids actually how they talk.
Yeah.
Does this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Very realistic dialogue, very realistic situations. Broken families are involved. Old acquaintances are involved. Other high school kids are involved in kind of sort of fringe ways to the story. I don't want to tell you too much about it because it's a movie that once you go in and you understand that that's the beginning of the adventure, that first 20 minutes, I think you might be hooked too.
Yeah, so, that's a good setup.
Well, I love the way you set it up too, because if you think about, you know, you change the musical score, suddenly it's a thriller. Or
yeah.
It's a really
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A blood handprint instead of a mud handprint.
It just looked kind of dark. And you referenced Stand By Me. That was Stephen King's work.
Yes.
You know, and if you think about it, I've seen people do stuff online where they take the music of Stand By Me, throw it away, and they had the creepy music, and it really becomes a very creepy film.
Yeah, this is not a creepy movie in that way. It is suspenseful, but it's really more about the adventure, particularly of one of the two boys who's the leader of the duo. But I liked it.
So we're going 7.5 out of 10 on that.
Yeah, I hope it does well, because it's not a copycat of every other movie that's out there. It's kind of original.
Well, you watch the trailer for it. It seems like a really hard movie to sell. It just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
It seems like a very, because a lot of people want that formula. They want the cliche. They want to know what they're getting.
Yeah.
And I love that you only told us the setup.
I will tell you this. If you see the trailer or the commercials, it makes it seem like Reese Witherspoon is the co-star with Matthew McConaughey of this movie. It's about the kids, and she has a small role.
All right. Okay.
So, and the Cardinal tickets are gone.
Okay. So somebody knew the answer was?
Yes, they did. Mary did.
Okay. Mary knew the answer was?
Mary
knew
the answer was?
Ben Kingsley won an Academy Award for?
Gandhi.
There we go.
1983. Congratulations, Mary. Enjoy the game.
I love watching a still shot of Gandhi. Still freaks me out. I mean, if you look at Gandhi, look at a picture of Gandhi, look at Ben Kingsley's Gandhi. Oh, that's crazy.
They did a great job. Now, I know you want me to talk about a movie that I saw on on DVD this week.
I just
week.
Need to know if you liked it.
Okay, but we have to take care of some business. So will you stick around for another segment?
I'd love to.
All right. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Let's get a look at some traffic now and see how this Friday afternoon commute is rolling along. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, we are looking at an accident now. It is on Graboy at Baptist Church, right across the street from Grant's Farm. It looks like they've got the northbound lanes of Graboy are completely blocked. The southbound lanes, only the right lane is opened up, and now it's underneath me. I can't see it, so that's where it is, right in that intersection. If you're traveling eastbound on River de Pere at Graboy, the left lane is the only one that's open. They're doing some kind of road work there. And then we have just the normal traffic on westbound 64. It's slow between Kings Highway and McCausland. They just cleared an accident on eastbound 64 at Hanley, so all lanes are now open there, but you're still slow at McKnight, and southbound 170 is slow from Olive down through Highway 64. This traffic report is brought to you by Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Shake your groove, bang, and Boogie Nights. Or do it at Boogie Nights, the ultimate 70s and 80s dance club featuring the hottest mixes and the coolest crowd. Now open at Hollywood Casino St. Louis. With your Golden Oak Lending Airborne traffic, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hey, it's Friday.
So what?
Well, tomorrow we're on the air again.
Again?
Every Saturday.
When?
Unless we're not here.
No, we're here.
This Saturday on the Inside Out Show.
This Saturday, we're here.
When you call in, you get information about either growing something, killing something, fixing something, rebuilding something.
What time do I have to show up?
11 o'clock to 1 o'clock every Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
All the information you'll need to do stuff around the house. That's the Inside Out Show.
I'm Jim.
I'm John. We'll see you then on the Big 550 KTRS.
I want my hair to stop falling out.
I'm sick of looking at my scalp.
I am done with thin, damaged hair.
I need my hair back.
I want thick hair, full volume.
I want the hair I used to have.
Ladies, we know what you want and have what you need. If you want to regrow thicker, fuller hair, we're about to send you a groundbreaking system specially formulated for women's hair care called Caranique. To try it, call 1-800-400-2523 in the next 10 minutes. The Caranique system contains a product with the only FDA-approved treatment clinically proven to regrow your hair, effectively fighting hair loss. This system will give you fuller hair with incredible volume, strength, and thickness. It even prevents breakage and helps repair damaged hair. Women, it's time to be proud and take back your hair. To try Caranique, call 1-800-400-2523 in the next 10 minutes. If lines are busy, please try again. But hurry, supplies are limited. That's 1-800-400-2523.
Be honest, will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait till you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-600-0571. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-600-0571. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-600-0571. That's 1-800-600-0571.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Schneider, mayor of the beautiful city of Florissant. Founded in 1786 with 52,000 people, we're the oldest and largest community in the county. We love our safe, fun, historic city, and we want to share it with you. Come enjoy the first celebration of spring by enjoying the 50th anniversary of our Valley of Flowers Festival, a gold standard of community events in the county. The festival begins Friday night, May 3rd at the Knights Grounds and ends there with the parade and Queen's Crowning Sunday, May 5th. Also, come to the James J. Egan Center and enjoy our world-renowned theater's entertainment under a big tent with a big bubble blower and a big pirate ship Friday and Saturday with lots of food and free admission to all. Festival activities include live music, barbecue, baseball, crafts, flea and flower market, children's activities, a classic car show, carnival rides, games, and more. Sunday's parade features queen candidates, floats, antique cars, military vehicles, marching bands, a marching mayor, and fun galore. Visit FlorissantMo.com, click on the focus. Hope to see you there.
Jim is 38, mortgage, married, three great kids. He wants to protect his family with a $500,000 term life insurance policy. What do you think it will cost him? $100 a month? $60? $40? Actually, none of the above. Jim is in excellent health and can get a 10-year, $500,000 policy through SelectQuote for under $19 a month. Jim's wife, Deidre, 36, and also in great health, can get a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $16 a month. See how much you can save.
For a free quote, call 1-800-966-0399. That's 1-800-966-0399. 1-800-966-0399. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Can your walking cane fold up to one-third its size and then fold out in seconds?
The Hurry Cane can.
Can your cane instantly adapt to changing terrain, including sand, gravel, and snow?
The Hurry Cane can.
Can your cane stand on its own, freeing up both your hands when you need them?
The Hurry Cane can.
When other canes can't, the Hurry Cane can. Unlike old-fashioned canes, the all-terrain Hurry Cane gives you more stability, more balance, more peace of mind. And now we're offering our best deal ever, plus free shipping. The freestanding Hurry Cane tackles terrain you'd never try with ordinary canes. And its 3 points of contact give you unparalleled stability. But there's one more important question. Can your cane save you money?
The Hurry Cane can.
Because we're offering the Hurry Cane at an historic low price, plus free shipping. Just call 1-800-600-2949. 1-800-600-2949. 1-800-600-2949.
At Sears Auto Center, shop for new tires at your convenience with extended hours and online scheduling. Visit Sears Auto Center today. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 4/27.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Joe Hipperson is still here. Going to get to what's happening in the clubs. Any other movies opening this weekend that we have to mention?
None that we should really mention, except for the brilliant song choice just now. Any fans of the Big Lebowski will be in the same trip I am right now. That was awesome. That's great. I'll stop.
Well, thank you.
If you are a regular listener of this segment with Joe, you know that for about the last 7 months, there's one movie that he has tried to bring up as often as possible. In fact, I would say he's talked about it more than anything except the Die Hard sequel. And then once that sucked, he stopped talking about Die Hard. But this one still comes up anytime he can slip it into the conversation. And that movie is Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained.
Mostly because I respect you so much as a critic, as a talk show host, and I love doing segments with you. I know how I feel about the movie. And
is it safe to say you love that movie?
I just saw it last weekend, too.
Oh, you did?
As well?
Yes, I just watched it this week on DVD.
It was a very long journey for me to watch and a very long journey to take as anyone with human emotion. But I will tell you that there were times where I was kind of thinking, really? So what was this, like the fifth thing? What is it, Lord of the Rings? And then eventually, it didn't matter. I was triumphantly applauding at the end. I felt I went through a lot of unnecessary endings to get to that big climax. But I walked out loving that movie.
All right, I will tell you, first of all, the movie's too long.
Yes, totally agree. At one point, I thought, well, this is the end of the movie. And I checked, and it was halfway through.
Yeah.
And I go, what?
No, it's not the end of the movie. It's a prostate exam with Jamie Foxx. That's when you think it's the end of the movie. You know what I'm talking about. You try seeing that on the big screen.
Yes, and also the scene with the dogs, completely unnecessary to the plot.
Right.
There are things like that where you needed a better editor to go in there. Now, that being said, the character that's played by Christoph Waltz, did he win an Academy Award for that this year?
Golden Globe.
No, he also won the Academy Award.
Did he?
Yes, he did. And he deserved it because he carried that film.
Oh, my goodness.
He is the star of this movie.
Outstanding.
And we talk about originals, you know, when I talk about the plot of Mud or anything else that we talk about, that character of Christoph Waltz in Django Unchained, and for those of you who don't know, he pretends to be a dentist who's really a bounty hunter. But he's a German bounty hunter in the Old West during slavery times in the Old South. I mean, just that idea right there. If I'm Quentin Tarantino and I have that pop into my head, I go, that's my movie right there.
Yeah, and he's a great salesman, too. If you look at it,
yes.
He cons
everybody. Oh, my goodness.
I loved how he played the role. I did kind of think to myself, okay, so once again, he's in a Tarantino movie. Once again, he's playing a German. It's almost like the guy can't really escape from that.
But the character and the way Tarantino wrote the character. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No. It was amazing.
And I will also say that I think Tarantino finally, and you mentioned editor, I will say that there were certain scenes in that film, maybe the dinner scene, for example, where the tension, if you didn't feel it, I mean...
You mean the one towards the end with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes. Okay. You're sitting there watching, it's like, okay, just speed up. Just whatever's going to happen, just make it happen. Just make it happen, because I can't take it anymore.
Yeah. I will also say there's a role in this movie that's played by the only person in the world who could play that movie, that role, and that's Samuel L. Jackson.
Wow.
Who is essentially, because when Tarantino wrote this, and you know that they have that history going all the way back to Pulp Fiction, which that Pulp Fiction turned Jackson into a star.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, you could see Tarantino said, all right, I got to put in a part for Jackson.
Yep.
Sam's got to be in the movie. What's it going to be? Oh, I guess it'll be the Samuel L. Jackson role. I mean, if this had been any other movie, it would have been, you know, slaves on a plane. I want these freaking slaves off this freaking mother freaking plane.
Monday to Friday
plane. Come on, Samuel Jackson could deliver lines written by Tarantino like nobody else.
No, I think they have the best chemistry between director and writer since Scorsese and De Niro. It's that great when they work together, and it's absolutely right in there. I thought some of the plot took too long to develop, but some of the stories along the way, because the Christoph Waltz character is so interesting, I was completely fascinated by that. I mean, I don't really need to see two guys sitting around eating beans and drinking coffee anymore. That concept died for me with Blazing Saddles. But the way they do it in this movie, and they add to the exposition of the story, I was totally into this movie.
Mm-hmm. I like the ripple effect where a certain action will go down, and you'll think, oh man, that's harsh. Wow, not even going to really talk about that. But then later on, it's readdressed. Sniping somebody in a field, the way it gets readdressed later on, you realize, okay, there's consequence for every action. Now that I've established that Tarantino is telling us there are consequences for all these actions, I kind of knew where certain characters might be headed. I hated knowing that, and I hated when I was right, but it was still a really fun movie to see. And for, yes, the dog scene. Too much. The fighting scene in front of the fireplace, too much. But for those, you get a little bit of forgiveness when you get the Klansman and the hood issue.
Yes.
Which, if you didn't laugh at that, I mean, there's no sense of humor going on.
Right.
That was just hilarious.
Right. I will also say that as much as I like the violence in some of the earlier Tarantino, I don't mean I like the violence, but I think the violence was well done in some of the earlier Tarantino movies, like Reservoir Dogs, like Pulp Fiction. I just also recently watched Kill Bill, which I hated because it's essentially...
See, I've never seen it.
Well, don't bother.
Yeah.
It's essentially Uma Thurman having adventures where people get their limbs and heads cut off and blood spurts like the fountain at a $50,000 wedding.
Yeah, you don't realize every person is basically a fire hydrant filled with blood. Yeah. They lose one little bit.
Have you ever seen the fountain in front of the art museum?
Yes.
That's every character in Kill Bill once Uma Thurman gets her sword through them.
Every decapitation
in
the movie.
and in Django Unchained, there is some of that, and I was disappointed that he went that same route, because you don't need that stuff. I don't mean that you have to clean up the violence. I just think too much of that stuff takes away from the quality of the rest of what you're doing.
Yeah, I think his obsession with B-movies, I think, leads to that.
I think you guys are way wrong, because by doing it that way, you have such intense violence happening. You have things that are very gritty, we've already exposed very dirty, gritty. Ooh, I don't want to watch that. So when there is a guy getting shot and that blood splatters like a water balloon, I believe that's how we've been. Okay, so I can deal with this violence because it's a little over the top.
Like you pieces add that of, what was that, Grindhouse that he did with
with Rodriguez.
The chick with the gun on his leg?
I think when it goes over the top with the water balloon effect of blood splattering everywhere, it's kind of violence that we could take with a spoonful of sugar because it's over the top.
But when I'm that much into a movie like this, I don't want it to get cartoonish.
Yeah, I agree.
The silence.
I think he thinks that's his thing now.
Yeah.
I think he feels like he has to do that. People are waiting for it.
Yes.
And he has to give them.
The silence in Django Unchained between Jamie Foxx and Samuel L. Jackson after a shootout towards the end, brilliant.
Yep.
Their dialogue back and forth, second to none.
I agree.
Love it.
Yep.
So where would you rate Django Unchained? Because I said straight up, Tarantino, outside of Pulp Fiction, this mirrors Pulp Fiction as his best work.
I would say 7.5 to 8. Somewhere in that range out of 10.
Did it bother you that the soundtrack wasn't true to the time of the movie we were watching? I'm dead serious.
You mean the time when...
No, I kind of liked the soundtrack.
You mean when Christoph Waltz and Jamie Foxx come strolling out to Jim Croce's I've Got a Name?
Hey, man. That seems like something that would irritate you.
No, I loved it.
No, I liked it too, yeah.
I loved it. I mean, to me, that's like, why is raindrops keep falling on my head in the middle of Butch Cassidy?
Right.
So... no, I had no problem with that.
Okay, right on. You want to know about some concerts coming out?
Yes.
All right, here we go, real quick. Tonight, you can see Revelation 7 at Ye Olde Haunt. John Gotti playing at Blank Space. Rock Kick-Ass and the Bumblebee Assassins are playing at the Heavy Anchor. Fat Pocket is at the Broadway Oyster Bar. The Box Cutters are at Lemons. DJ Forensic at the Crack Fox. 30 Helens Agree over at the Way Out Club. Brother Father, all one word, at the Gramophone. The Smash Raptors are playing the demo. Wolves at the Gate at FUBAR. The Firebird has Dusty Wallets. Jay Funk, with a PH, is at 2720 Cherokee. Anthony Gomes at the Family Arena. On Saturday, Ghostface Killa, spelled K-I-L-L-A-H, is at 2720 Cherokee. Unsold Homicide at FUBAR. Pistols and the Sisters at Blueberry Hill. Seven Shot Screamers at the demo. American Idiot, a tribute to Green Day at the Sky Music Lounge on Saturday. The Filthy 15 at JP's Corner Bar. Mount Thelonious at the Livery Company. Prom from Hell, playing at Broadway Oyster Bar. The Skeksis at Heavy Anchor. Stink Bomb and Death Horse are playing at Lemons. The Perverted are at the Foam Coffee and Beer. The Former Me at Cicero's. And a guy named Carlos Santana at the Peabody Opera House on Saturday night.
Wow.
And last but not least, I'll throw you guys five concerts. One is fake. One is fake. Here we go. Hathead Jones, Friday at Lemons. Fidel Castration, Saturday at FUBAR. The Red-Handed Bandits, Friday at the Heavy Anchor. Sasquatch Telepath, Saturday at Foam Coffee and Beer. Brown Bottle Fever, Saturday at the demo.
Oh, man. All right, I've got it narrowed down to two, but we'll let Ian go first.
I have it narrowed down.
Fidel Castration.
Dan? Oh, that's what I was going to say.
All right, I'll take Sasquatch Telepath.
Yeah.
Well, once again, I said this off the air, you guys. I just can't stump. That's right. My brilliant band name that's fake, Fidel Castration. Come on. If you want to use one of my band names, go for it. Just make sure I get credit in the liner notes. I'll talk to you guys next week. I'm Joe Hipperson, the Big 550 KTRS, hip on entertainment.
Joe's brought to you every week by Auric, which has seven locally owned and operated stores in the St. Louis area. They're also online at auric.com.
Let's get a look at traffic now. Airborne with Tim Weiland. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dan. And first of all, this report is brought to you by Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Don't miss the $100,000 Break the Bank giveaway at Hollywood Casino St. Louis Saturday, April 27th. It's from 2 to 11 p.m. with a guaranteed top prize of $50,000 in cash. They were working with that accident in the South County area. It was at Graboy and Baptist Church. Eastbound Graboy, you had only the right lane open, and they were diverting traffic to Baptist Church. The westbound lanes were all shut down. We're going to fly back over there. Hopefully, they've got that cleared by now. Looking at southbound 170 now, you're a little slow at Page. You're stop and go from Olive down through Highway 64. Westbound 64, a slow Kings Highway through McCausland, from approaching Ballas through Mason, and then from Clarkson out to the Boone Bridge. You've got some long, slow stretches there. On eastbound 270, slowing from McDonald through New Florissant. Looks like on southbound 170 at Ladue, you've got a minor accident. It's off to the shoulder in the midst of that stop-and-go traffic. And then on westbound 70, you're heavy from the 270 to the Blanchette Bridge and from Cave Springs, a little west of that, out through 79. And this traffic report is also brought to you by Qdoba. Bring fresh flavor to your fiesta this Cinco de Mayo with one of Qdoba Catering's taco or nacho bars. Qdoba will do all the work, and you can take all the credit. Call 888-QDOBA to go today. That's our With Your Golden Oak Lending Airborne Traffic. I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Here's what you missed on the Carney Show.
I think, honey, it's time that you tied me up to the car bumper and beat me with Christmas lights.
John, are you really expressing an interest there?
It's kind of a Jewish fantasy, actually.
I'm Jewish, too. I don't have that one.
Don't knock it.
The Carney Show, weeknights from 9 till midnight on the Big 550 KTRS.
There's nothing subliminal about getting hungry. Hungry. It usually hits you with the subtlety of a ton of bricks. Hungry, hungry. Now that your stomach has your full attention, you need to rectify the situation with something made to order from the fresh food specialists at the home of the grilled sub.
Subliminal subs.
Subliminal subs. I just said that subliminally.
That was you? I thought it was my stomach talking.
This is your stomach talking. Subliminal subs, grilled subs, and more. You know you want one.
Subliminal subs are made to order by fresh food specialists. With grilled and specialty subs, fresh salads, soups, and drinks. And for a limited time, you can get breakfast sausage biscuits for 99 cents at participating locations.
Subliminal subs
has locations on both sides of the river. In Illinois, you'll find Subliminal subs in O'Fallon on Highway 50, on South Main in Waterloo, and in the Edwardsville Troy area on Edwardsville Road off I-55 exit 18. And in Missouri, there's the newest location in the Westport Plaza, coming soon to Millstadt in the Central West End. Go to subliminalsubs.com for the full menu, locations, and phone numbers. Subliminal Subs.
You know you want one.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday to you.
Hey, Bill, tomorrow my wife and I are going to the Fox to see Million Dollar Quartet. I think you went earlier this week, didn't you?
Incredible. Just an incredible show. Now, my favorite is probably Jersey Boys, and so I had to rank this as maybe number two, right behind Jersey Boys.
Wow.
What a great show.
Wow. All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll really enjoy it. Well, a bigamist was discovered when his two wives met on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and guess as a list of his relationship status if it's complicated.
Talk about poker.
Apparently what happened was wife number one's photo popped up on wife number two's page with the words, people your husband may also be married to. And yesterday, all of the living U.S. presidents showed up to George W. Bush's library dedication. No word yet on how many dead presidents showed up. They all did that yesterday on the news, you see. The living presidents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
And President Obama was in attendance, but that's only because he thought he was going to a dedication of the George W. Bush golf course. And finally... Million Dollar Quartet, not quite as good as today's segment, by the way.
No,
of course not.
It's pretty good.
Scientists say they
are on the verge of being able to bring extinct things back to life. Yeah. All right, finally some good news for the Rams.
Oh.
Hey,
look out. Yeah, they had a good draft last night.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, by the way, here's the definition of a good draft for the Rams. They were able to draft.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the official AM and the PM cab company. And from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KPRS.
By the way, was I the only one who noticed last night during the draft former Ram lineman Alex Barron was offsides? Was that just me?
Was he?
Yeah.
He's always offsides.
We're coming up on 5 o'clock and the next hour, the Harris Challenge, Mike Evans, and knuckleheads in the news. This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.